want you to go with me in your Bibles, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. We are going to visit what Jesus called, or what Jesus said, and it is what we call the Great Commission. Right? The Great Commission. This is after Christ has been crucified, he has been resurrected from the dead, he is about to go up into heaven, what we call the ascension, that he would supernaturally disappear into the kingdom of God, into heaven. And these were his parting words to his disciples. And he tells them in verse 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, we preach so many series and messages during the course of a year, and sometimes we just need to be a little pastoral. So today I want to be a little pastoral, and I want to just give you a very simple explanation of the significance of water baptism. And I know people have questions about this because I have been asked questions in reference to water baptism. So I want to take a little time today because we're between sermon series. Next Sunday we start a new sermon series entitled Building an Unshakable Life, How We Can Be Unshakable in These Incredible Changing Times in Which We Live, and how we can endure the shaking that is to come. Because God's Word says, the prophet of God said, that God is going to shake all nations. I believe the Word of God, and when the shaking comes, I want to be prepared for it, and I want to be ready. And I don't want to live in fear, I want to live in faith. I don't want to live discouraged, I want to live expectant. And I believe that God's Word gives us the prerequisites of how to do that. And that's what our new sermon series will be starting next Sunday. So I've had a couple of weeks in between. Last week we talked about the ministry of helps. And again, before I kind of get into this, we need people helping with the ministry, serving. So I encourage you, if you're not serving in some department, if you're not serving in one of the ministries of the church, man, there's all kind of opportunities. Visit the information table. You can see things that are back there, opportunities, just needs. I mean, we need people to help us get the job done. And what is the job? This is it right here. This is the job right here. Jesus said to go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them, teach them, and he said, I'm going to be with you to get the job done until the very end of time. Because how many of you know the world as we know it is going to end? It is going to end. And it's not going to be a Hollywood fictional depiction. There is going to be the end of this age, excuse me, as we know it. And Jesus said that we are to do the work of the gospel until the very time of the end. So what does that have to do with water baptism? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I want to point out to you in the Great Commission that Jesus said that we're to go preach the gospel, make disciples, and baptize them. That is what we call the Great Commission. So let's just go through some very significant points in reference to water baptism. All right, first of all, water baptism follows salvation. You do not get baptized in water to save you. You get baptized in water because you are saved. So salvation is first and foremost. Water baptism follows salvation. Christ commanded that those who believe the gospel for salvation are to be baptized. Now, by being baptized, we are proclaiming our commitment to Christ and our commitment to kingdom purpose. There is a kingdom purpose that we all are called to serve. So when we are born again, when we become children of God, we come to salvation in Christ, and then we are baptized in water. And when we are baptized, we are making a proclamation. I belong to Jesus. I belong to the Lord. I am saved. I am a born-again child of God. Every one of us are born into this world as children of Adam. Y'all with me? Now, what does that mean? That means that we inherit everything from Adam. Adam, the moment he transgressed the law of God, Adam became a sinner, a wicked sinner. Now, what does that mean? See, when you're separated from the presence of God, then you go your own way. And then sin begins to take various manifestations in your life because that's the development of wickedness. See, Jeremiah summed it up very well. He said that the heart is deceitful above all things and it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the condition of the heart. See, that's what we have from Adam. As a son of Adam, I have inherited a wickedness inside of me. So to get past that wickedness, I have to be born again. I have to no longer be a son of Adam. I have to be a son of God. See, the world believes that every person is a child of God. That is not taught in Scripture. If every person was a child of God, then we would not need a Savior. We would not need salvation. See, but the Word of God teaches us this, that we are all born into the world as sons of Adam. We're all born crazy. Come on, somebody, right? We're all born crazy. We're all born this way. Whatever way that may be, and we are all in need of being born again. Salvation, where we become a son of God. See, we are born. That's why John 1:12 says, Christ came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become children of God, to become sons of God. So water baptism, see, it follows that salvation because it is, when we are baptized, it is saying, it is proclaiming, we belong to Christ, we are committed to Christ, and we are committed to his kingdom purposes. Now, my next point is this. Water baptism was introduced by John the Baptist. Water baptism was not an Old Testament practice. Even though many theologians and Bible teachers believe that John's baptism was immediately a connecting point to the Jews because the Jews would not even sit down for dinner without washing their hands. They had a lot of understanding about the necessity of water. Even they were very meticulous about washing their clothing. Their clothing went through a purification process. You know, there was a lot of washing of water in the Old Testament. Not water baptism, but there was a lot of purification rites that we find in the Old Testament. Now, John the Baptist, when the Old Testament ends in the book of Malachi, there is a 400-year period that is called the Intertestament period. See, all through the Old Testament, God was speaking to people. He was speaking to the world. And how did he do that? By prophets. So you go into your Bible and you will read, you know, all through the Scripture, and you will see that there were always prophets speaking. There were Bible characters who were called prophets. Moses was called a prophet. You know, you could find all through Scripture there were prophets. You go into the books of the prophets, and all of those, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Malachi, all of those were prophets of God. And they spoke as a mouthpiece for God. God was always speaking. And he was always calling people to himself. All right, so at the end of the Old Testament, at the end of Malachi, it is what is called the silent period. There was 400 years where there was no prophetic voice. So then all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist. Jesus said he was the greatest prophet. Now this guy showed up clothed with locusts and camel's hair, or clothed with eating locusts and wild honey. I wonder how wild honey tastes. But he was eating, can you imagine that? Eating locusts. Anybody ever ate a bug? Preacher was preaching one Sunday morning and a fly went right into his mouth. He said, I thought of a verse of scripture. He was a stranger and I took him in. I like that one. That's pretty good. But here's a prophet of God. His diet is eating locusts and wild honey. And he's clothed with animal skins and camel's hair. And I mean, this guy was not going to be on the cover of GQ magazine, okay? But he was a prophet of God. So John shows up on the scene. And John is giving a prophetic word, and the prophetic word that he's giving is a message of repentance. And he's calling people, he's calling them to turn away from sinful living. You see, his message of repentance was to call people away from selfish living, sinful living, and he was calling them to a commitment of righteousness. And those who would respond to the message of repentance, John would baptize them. But he wasn't baptizing them in the name of Jesus. He wasn't baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was just baptizing them. We don't know that he was really saying anything over them. If they responded to the message of repentance, then John baptized them. Because his message was a message of repentance. All right, so John was a forerunner. Now think, he's the first prophet that has shown up for 400 years. There's been no prophetic voice. Then all of a sudden, God begins to speak again. And he begins to speak through this man, John. And John was a cousin to Jesus. All right, so Jesus is about to enter the scene. And Jesus comes to John while John is baptizing people in the river. And Jesus walks into the river and he says, I want you to baptize me. John immediately says, whoa, I have need to be baptized of you. And you are asking me to baptize you? Jesus says, baptize me and it will fulfill all righteousness. That's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. All right, so here is the first introduction of baptism. So John baptizes Jesus, and Jesus says that this was to fulfill all righteousness. Now, we know Jesus had no sin, so he did not need to repent. There was no repentance necessary because he was sinless. He had no sin in his life. He was not a son of Adam. Y'all got that? Man, that is so vital. That is so important. That's why this gospel stands out from every other religious message in the world. Because here is a man that was born into the world. He was born of a woman, but he was not birthed by the seed of man. So he was born into this world not as a son of Adam. He was born into this world as the Son of God. Amen? All right, so he's completely sinless. And he comes to John to be baptized. And John is reluctant to baptize him. But Jesus is wanting to give an illustration. See, he's identified with humanity. He's not a sinner, but he's making an identification with humanity because He's about to call a family to himself. He is about to beget many sons and daughters through his awesome work on the cross. So John baptizes him. And the scripture says, then immediately the heavens open and the Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove. And it says that the Spirit positions himself right over Christ. And then a voice speaks, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All right, so this is the first introduction of water baptism. Now, this is not Christian baptism, because this was a baptism of repentance. But it paves the way for what was to follow. All right, so now we move on. All right, here's the next point. See, baptism is a declaration of one's faith in Jesus Christ. Go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, I want you to notice verse 26 and 27. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says this. He says, "For you," listen to this now. He says, "For you are all sons of God." Oh, hallelujah. I know I'm a son of Adam with all of his junk, all of his sinfulness. But now by faith in Christ, I am a son of God. We are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. He says, and it is solely by faith. He says, for you're all sons are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Did you catch that? See, man, I lived in Adam's mentality for way too long. But now I'm in a whole different mindset because now I have put on Jesus Christ. And he makes a direct reference of how this is symbolized in baptism. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, baptism is a declaration of our faith in Christ and that we are now sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters. We have been born again and we are sons and daughters of God. Water baptism is making a public statement that one is the property of Christ and now shares in his sonship. We are born into the world as sinful sons and daughters of Adam, but we are born again into the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. And that's what's so awesome about the message of the gospel, is that God can look at your life, regardless of how messed up it may be, regardless of how many failures you have done, how many times you have messed up, you may even still be messed up. But God looks at you, and you know what he sees, my friend? He sees the very life of the Son of God. He sees Jesus Christ. And that covering is over you. And that is your acceptance. That is your guarantee of an entrance into the kingdom of God. See, and this is the message that the world needs. And that's why Jesus said, he said, go all over the world. He said, take it to every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every people group, every ethnic group. He says, take it everywhere around the world. And he says, and when the job is done, he said, then I'm coming back. Hallelujah. He said, I'm coming back. And there's going to be an awesome family that's going to inherit this earth, people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And we're all made one family. Amen? One family in Jesus Christ. This is so awesome. See, and that's what baptism is declaring. It is a declaration of faith in Christ. Yes, I was born into this world as a sinful son of Adam, but I am born again now into the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. And when God the Father looks at my life, see, it's so easy for us to carry guilt for our sin. But when God looks upon us, guilt free, guilt-free because it's removed in Jesus Christ. Totally removed in Jesus Christ. Water baptism declares this awesome, incredible truth because it's a declaration of faith. All right, let me give you another illustration. Let's go. My next point is this. Baptism is an act of obedience. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I love to teach the Word of God because it's never old. It's never stale. It's always just so fresh and relevant because it applies into our lives in so many ways and testifies to what God has done. Here's another incredible truth, an incredible statement in the Word of God. See, baptism is an act of obedience. Now, I really don't totally understand why God wants us to be water baptized, do you? But I'm going to do it. You know why? Because He said to. He said to do it. So if He says to do it, then we should do it. It's an act of our obedience. So God says, be baptized in water. I can't wait to do our first baptism in the church. You know, when we bought this property and started West Point Church at the end of 06, you know, we kind of put this wall up, and there was a baptismal tank that really was not functional, and we've been using pools and things of that nature to do water baptisms. But I'm so excited to be able to incorporate that into the worship service. Because we need to hear testimonies, and we need to see what God is doing in the hearts and lives of people. Because when the gospel is preached, people are impacted. Lives are touched. People are restored. I can't wait for our men's Bible study, Manhood Restored. How the gospel of Jesus Christ restores our manhood. And I tell you, guys, we need manhood today more than ever. I really felt like a man Friday. I was at Six Flags Over Georgia, and I got on the Superman ride. And that ride, I'd never been on a ride like this. When I got in line, I didn't know I was going to get in a seat, and then they were going to flip me where I'm horizontal looking down at the ground. And when that floor dropped out and that thing went into its horizontal position, and I was like, oh God, please don't let me die. And that ride drops you over the hill and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. When that thing drops you over the top and then circles you around, and it's over in 45 seconds. And I tell you, it was the longest 45 seconds. And I was like, is this manhood? Because if it is, I want out. The Superman ride. So I learned how to fly on the Superman ride. But manhood restored. So guys, I'm giving a little commercial now. We need to study the Word of God as men together. We need to grow as men together. And we need to see the gospel restore our manhood. Because we are living in a generation that is totally confused. Hello, somebody. Amen. Totally confused. But our identity is in Jesus Christ, and I thank God for that. All right, let me give you this verse. I'm back on track now. All right, Colossians 2:12. Look at what the Scripture says. Our point is this: baptism is an act of obedience. He says this, that we are buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Wow. When believers are baptized, they are responding to what Christ has done for them. And there are two things that validate water baptism. repentance from a sinful life and personal faith in Jesus Christ. Those two things. See, repentance, the very word repentance means I am turning away from a sinful lifestyle. And it means I'm not going to live like that anymore. See, there's a lot of people that come into churches and they begin to attend church and they kind of try to add church to their lives. Maybe even add God to their lives. But that's not what gets it done. See, there has to be repentance. Repentance means there's a change of heart. There's a change of direction. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm not living that life anymore. I'm not going to be involved in sinful living anymore. I am repenting from selfish living. And when we do that, the scripture says that there is a supernatural working of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead begins to operate in our lives because of an act of obedience. And you see, when we are baptized in water, we are demonstrating that awesome, incredible act of obedience. We are responding to what Jesus Christ has done for us. And he plainly says that we are buried with him in baptism. And we are raised with him by faith. That's an incredible truth right there. All right, moving on. Let me go on to the next thing. All right, water baptism is a testimony of salvation. Every person has their own story of their salvation experience. My friend, you need to be able to pinpoint an exact moment in your life and say, this was my moment when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I surrendered to the call of God. I can pinpoint my moment. My moment, I had just turned 18. I was just a young whippersnapper. Never raised in church. I was in Catholic boarding school for a while until I began to fight with the nuns, and then they kicked me out. And not really. I cried like a baby, and my grandmother wouldn't send me back, praise God. But I wasn't raised in church, wasn't raised in the things of God. Oh, how I wish I would have been. But I unfortunately was not. I had no father in my life. I had no male guidance in my life. So I joined up with the street boys and began a life of crime and all kind of stuff. Until one day, somebody told me Jesus Christ could change your life. I was like, well, there's got to be more than this. So I began to attend church, began to hear the message of the gospel, never responded to it, but a lot of stuff I was hearing, it made a lot of sense. Got me to thinking. And not only did it get me to thinking, it got me to searching. And I began to read, I picked up the Bible, began to read the Bible myself, and began to, man, just, I didn't understand over half of it, but there were some things that were just, you know what? I think I get this. Got down on my knees in my bedroom, cried out to God and said, God, if you're real, save my soul, change my life. How many of you know the Lord thrives on those kind of prayers? Because he's not looking for some magical formula. He's not looking for some rehearsed prayer. He's just looking for a heart of honesty. Someone that would turn to him. And in that moment, I became a born-again child of God. And from that moment, everything changed. I mean, changed. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't really explain it. But I knew something had happened. Something supernatural had happened. What I didn't understand at the time is that the Spirit of God came into me. When I prayed that prayer, is that there was an impartation of the life of Jesus Christ that came into my heart. The Spirit of God came into my heart because salvation is by faith. And from that moment on, my desires changed. You know, my mentality changed. People I associated with changed. My music changed. Everything changed. And there was a testimony. See, and that's what baptism, when you are baptized in water, there is a testimony that follows that baptism. Or I should say there's a testimony that is before that baptism. It's the reason why you are being baptized. Every person has their own story. All of us were rooted in selfishness and in living our own way. And when we are baptized, we are testifying that sin no longer dominates us and that we are now new creatures in Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. I am a new creation. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. See, that's the testimony right there. That's the change right there. Everything changes. And water baptism is a testimony. I am testifying. I am being baptized in water because I belong to Jesus Christ. I have salvation. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When this thing is all said and done, I have a guarantee of heaven as my home. I don't have to worry about it. My eternal future and my destiny is sealed. And that is the power of our testimony. I am baptized in water because it is a testimony of my salvation. That brings me to my last and final point. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 6. See, because water baptism portrays union with Jesus Christ. See, the scripture teaches us that the human race is separated from God's Spirit because of sinfulness. They are sons of Adam. They are children of Adam. So that's why they live like they do. That's why they act like they do. That's why they speak like they do. That's why it's sexual in nature. It's driven by, you know, all of the things that are contrary to the Word of God. Do you understand that if you go into the Scripture, you will find that God gave laws to govern every aspect of society? Every aspect of society. In Scripture, we have what was called the civil law, which is government. We have the ceremonial law, which had to do with purification or religion. And then, of course, we had the civil, the ceremonial, and the most important is the moral law. And God gave, you can go into the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you will find through those five books of the Bible that God began to outlay a plan for humanity. He gave us laws about sexuality. Yes. He gave us laws about governing. He gave us laws about morality. He gave us laws about manslaughter. He gave us laws about all of these things. And the law of God is so vitally important because it reveals the plan of God. God has a plan. And his plan is always the best. And thank God that because of what Jesus did on the cross, that we can connect to the awesome plan of God. I now have a union with Jesus Christ, and I don't have to live like that anymore. I don't have to live my life like that anymore. I've already done it for short period of time, and I experienced it, and I know that this is a much better way. God's plan is a much better plan. As Brother Andrew shared, it's amazing today that God has provided here, and yet people reject him. He has given us his awesome word, but yet people reject it. They want to stay in their sinfulness. They want to stay. Jesus summed it up this way. Jesus said this. He says, I speak unto the world. He said, the world rejects me because I testify against it, that its works are evil. And he said, men love darkness rather than light. That's what Jesus said. He said, men love darkness rather than light. He said, neither will they come to the light that they might receive life. But as many as receive him, those are the ones that have been given an eternal union with Jesus Christ. It's illustrated in Romans 6:4. And this is what he says. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. A new life. A new living. A new experience. Oh, praise God. See, this is the union right here. And water baptism portrays the union of the believer with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When you and I are baptized in water, we are baptized because we are believers. We are now sons and daughters of God. And baptism illustrates a lifelong commitment of turning from evil and pledging ourselves to God's standard of righteousness. And that's why Jesus said, when he was baptized, he said, this is to fulfill all righteousness. Because there's a standard. There's a standard of righteousness. And Jesus Christ is God's only standard of righteousness. And can I tell you, regardless of what TV people say, what influential people, whether they are talk show hosts or movie stars, are multi-millionaires or billionaires, doesn't matter. When it's all said and done, there's only one truth. There's only one way. And God said, this is the way. He said, no one comes in. And we live in a culture that says there's all kind of ways. Don't you believe it for one second that there's many paths to God. Don't believe it. The only way you get into heaven is because you have an eternal union with Jesus Christ. When you are baptized in water, you are making that declaration, I have a union with Christ. And because I am a son of God, just like he was raised and brought into the eternal kingdom, I'm going to be raised and I'm going into the eternal kingdom. That's why Paul said, he said, it doesn't matter if I live or die. He said, if I live, I'm going to live under the Lord. He said, if I die, I'm going to die under the Lord. So whether I live or whether I die doesn't really matter. He said, because I belong to him. The very word redemption means that God has bought you back. He purchased you. Hallelujah. You're no longer in slavery. You're no longer in bondage. No longer dominated by sin's power. Because you have been redeemed. You have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All of these great, incredible truths are illustrated through this simple act of water baptism. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that incredible of what God has done for us?